We can choose to believe that Superstorm Sandy and the most severe drought in decades and the worst wildfires some states have ever seen were all just a freak coincidence. Or we can choose to believe in the overwhelming judgment of science and act before it's too late.
The extent of environmental damage from man-made climate change is a debate in and of itself, but President Obama has made it clear there will be some form of government action during his second term.
If Congress won't act soon to protect future generations, I will.
No idea is gaining more traction or causing more concern than a carbon tax. This would be a tax on each ton of carbon dioxide emitted into the atmosphere from the burning of fossil fuels like oil and coal. Advocates argue that this would be a good market-friendly tax that wouldn't tank the economy. But is this really the case?
Well, a carbon tax would do exactly what you want it to do, which is to incorporate the damages to the environment into the prices we pay for all manner of goods and services.
Adele Morse of the Brookings Institution says that existing regulations under the Clean Air Act are obsolete, ineffective, and even harmful. Morse has studied different carbon tax models and says that this might be a better alternative.
Right now, because carbon is not priced, we have an implicit advantage to traditional energy that's inefficient.
In an ideal world, if carbon emissions were in fact directly harming someone's property, the government should step in and make sure that they get compensated. The problem is the transactions cost, the cost of trying to get those damages through the court system are just too high. And so maybe what you need is a carbon tax as a substitute for that process.
Reason Magazine science correspondent Ronald Bailey says that while a carbon tax could help pay for private property damages, it has to be constructed and executed very carefully.
The right way to do a carbon tax, if we had decided we wanted to go down that path, would be a one-for-one offset with other taxes. Probably the payroll tax would be the best way to do it. Or another way you might do it is that at the end of the year, when you collected up all the taxes, is that the government would divide it up and send a check to every American for their share of that tax.
Exactly. A carbon tax doesn't have to be just for raising new revenue for new spending. If you made it revenue neutral, it would help with the concern that all you're doing is adding more burdens on net to the American economy.
But even if the tax revenues make it back to the taxpayers, it would still drive up the cost of goods and services because businesses would have to foot the bill.
Any dollar that the government takes from us by way of a tax is a dollar that we can't put back into our factories.
Nick Castle works for Morningstar, one of the world's largest tomato processing plants. He says that Morningstar and other food processors would most likely have to pass on the cost of the tax to their customers.
There's no secret bag of money that any business has in a bottom drawer. You're creating value, you're deriving value from your resources. The more you can limit the use of resources and create value is margin. So that margin is the incentive that keeps businesses running effectively and cost effectively and doing everything they can.
The amount of carbon emissions for each product likely wouldn't change because right now there isn't a good alternative to fossil fuels. So that leaves two options to cut total emissions. Either prices go up or production goes down.
The consequences in terms of economic growth would be could be quite severe depending on the level you set the tax on. It will certainly slow things down in the sense that it makes all fuels more expensive.
What we found, a carbon tax could be disproportionately burdening lower income households because they spend a relatively larger share of their income on energy, gasoline, home heating, that kind of thing. One option would be to embed a carbon tax into a broader fiscal package such that the regressivity of the carbon tax could be counterbalanced by other parts of that package that are progressive.
A lot of people fear what would happen is once you establish a carbon tax, that basically they wouldn't return it to the public. They wouldn't return it as a rebate to taxpayers or as a reduction, a one-for-one reduction in their payroll taxes. Instead, it would just be another tax. So you would increase government spending, you would slow down the economy, and you would have leave less money in the pockets of the working people of America.
And if prices get too high, people would start to look elsewhere for cheaper products, like China.
I was just in China in June. When you drive through that country, you can see examples of strip mining, clear cutting. I mean, it's blatant disregard for the environment.
The United States uses energy to produce a dollar of GDP much more efficiently than either China or India does. So if you're moving an activity from the United States over to China and India, they're very likely to use a lot more energy to produce the same product that you could have produced with less energy here at home, thus harming the environment overall.
Seeing as a fully enforced worldwide carbon tax isn't realistic, is a carbon tax still our best option to reduce emissions?
I think there are going to be a number of unpalatable choices. And the question is, could a carbon tax feature into a set of choices that creates space for an overall deal? I think it could.
The cost of implementing government policy may be a lot higher than the benefits that you're going to try to get out of them. So you have to be very careful about that. A clean, simple carbon tax rebating all the money back to individual Americans, that might work. But anything more complicated than that is very likely to cost a lot more than the benefits that we could hope to get out of it.
Politics do complicate things, and betting on a clean, simple carbon tax is very risky.
The best way to stimulate innovation is through market competitiveness. The more competition that you have in the free market, the more incentive there is for a business person and a business entity to do what it can to gain market share and grow. We are already running as efficient as we believe, being the most price competitive producer in the world.